Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Christian Podcast. At Faith Christian, our purpose is to help people find and follow Jesus. For more information about Faith Christian, check out our website, fccnp.org, or stop by on a Sunday morning. We'd love to meet you. Now, we hope you enjoy this recent teaching from Faith Christian Church.
Let's pray together. Fathers, we pause right now. We acknowledge that you are our God. You are our King, our ruler, our creator, our sustainer, the giver of life, the giver of hope. The ultimate display of love, Father, you are love. And so we pause today. We've lifted up our voices in adoration, in worship, in honor, and in celebration of who you are and what you have done for us. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for being the God that we can proclaim to the masses in our words and in our actions. So Father, teach us today. Teach us how to love better. Teach us your words. Teach us to move beyond just a church service, but into our hands and feet that we may serve, that we may love our community, we may love our world as you love them. Teach us, God, today to love better. This we pray in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. You can be seated. What a thrill to get to spend this time with you this weekend. Thanks for being here. Thanks to those of you who are tuned in online. We appreciate you making this a part of your weekend and having this moment to celebrate together. Let's a couple of just quick announcements to let you know some things that are going on. Don't want you to miss. I'll talk about what's going on later today in just a minute, so we'll come back to that. But let me look at the next couple of weeks. Specifically, next Sunday evening is our Super Bowl party. We've done this for, almost two decades now, at least. Every year during the Super Bowl, we put the game up on the big screen, bring a bowl of crock pot of soup to share. We set up the ping pong table and some cornhole and stuff for the kids to do. And just a great time to be together. The game's on TV. You don't have to stay the whole time. That's all right. Don't worry about that. If you got to get kids to bed, we understand that. Most people stay till about halftime anyway. So come eat and watch the game with us, and we'll have a great time. That's next Sunday evening. Now, today, let's talk about what's going on today. I'm glad you're here. Glad to see such a full house this morning, and I hope that many of you will plan to stay. As soon as we're done today, we're going to eat lunch together. We've got some pizza on the way and share around some tables a little bit. Our partners in ministry, Lifeline Christian Ministry, they'll be here pulling in about the time we're done with our service today to set up a food packing event for us. And what this is we'll be setting up this room. Actually, after the service, before I forget, I'll say it now, we need to clear this section of chairs. So somebody can help me remember this section over here. We're going to clear this out, set some tables up over here. That will be our food packing station. Our goal today is to pack 10,000 bags that are these prepackaged meals that will go to some of our ministry partners in Cuba. And we're going to fill these bags, seal them up, get them packed up, ready to be shipped off to Cuba to help Lifeline Christian Ministries in this way. So we hope you'll stay. Any age can participate. We're scooping stuff into plastic bags and sealing them up. Probably don't want a kid running the hot sealer because it does get hot. But I've been burned before. I can do that. So maybe you can too. So stick around after the service this morning. Many hands, as we say, many hands make light work. And we'll serve together and make the world a better place together as we partner with Lifeline Christian Ministries in this event this afternoon. So hope you'll stick around after the service, eat lunch with us, help us set up and participate in that. Also want to mention to you, next Sunday, I'll be getting a brand new sermon series next Sunday that I'm just going to tell you, I don't do this a lot, but you don't want to miss this one. You want to be sure you're here, you want to bring someone with you. We're going to be talking for 5, maybe 6 weeks about the topic of mental health. Which is something that all of us need to pay attention to. We pay attention to our physical health, and we need to pay attention to our mental health. And there is a biblical response and an encouragement to do this, and we're going to share that. We're going to walk through that together. It's going to be heavy. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be a heavy conversation, but it's an important conversation. I think it's one we need to have as a church and as a community of people together. So I hope that you will be here for the next several weeks. If you're not, you can't be here for one reason or the other, please get the podcast. You can download download that right to your phone. Get online through our Facebook page, our YouTube page, our website. You can watch the services online if you can't be here. You can even, if you can't watch it on Sunday, you can watch it later in the week. We want to be sure that you are connected to these resources. This is a very important conversation we're going to be having, and you don't want to miss it. And I really hope that you'll be here, and I hope you will bring someone with you. Because there's some things that we're going to say that I need to hear. I'll be preaching to the mirror most of the time. But I hope that you'll be here to share that time with us. Again, that starts next week. This morning, in our teaching time, we are wrapping up a series we've been in early part of this year, 2024, that I've called How to Be Rich. And our goal here is not to tell you how to get rich, but how to be rich. Specifically, how to be good at being rich. And one of the things I've said throughout this series is that I'm a little nervous anytime I have to talk about money, because I know the preconceptions. I know what people think about preachers and money. And so I've tried to lighten this up by telling a couple of jokes. So you got time for a couple more today? All right, here we go. So two young boys are playing together down the street, down at one boy's home. They're playing together up in the bedroom playing. And the one boy who's visiting accidentally swallows a couple of coins, small coins, that the boys were playing with. And he just kind of freaks out. So he starts running out of the house, and he's screaming, and he's running back down the sidewalk to his house. Well, the mom of the house that he swallowed the coins is like, honey, don't panic. I will take you to the doctor. He says, doctor, nothing. I'm going to the church. So what? Why are you going to the church? Well, my daddy says that pastor can get money out of anybody.
Yeah.
You don't like that one? All right, here, this one's on you. Ready? Some of you will remember the great comedian Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson had a character. He'd do skits with his character. The character was Reverend Leroy. Reverend Leroy was a religious minister of the Church of What's Happening Now. And Flip Wilson was an African-American man. And so his Pastor Leroy character obviously was a preacher to a black church. And Pastor Leroy is preaching one day, and he's saying to his church, and you know, if you know the African-American church, there's some call and response. I'm glad you guys don't do that. I get distracted enough. I don't need you talking back. But in this church, they would talk back. And so Pastor Leroy says, if this church is going to go anywhere, it's going to have to learn how to crawl. And the church's response, let it crawl, Pastor. Let it crawl. Well, once this church learns how to crawl, then it's going to have to learn how to walk. Let it walk, Rev. Let it walk. And once it learns how to walk, it's going to have to learn how to run. Let it run, Rev, let it run. And if it's going to run, it's going to take money. Let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl. Great joke. The common joke is that we tend to make about pastors is that they have some agenda when it comes to talking from the pulpit, talking about wealth and money and riches. And I'll be honest with you, I do have an agenda, but it's not the one you think. My agenda here is not about collecting dollars. I'm not trying to raise money. I am trying to raise fully committed followers of Jesus. And you cannot read the words of Jesus, not read about your money. Because Jesus makes your money his business. Because here's the reality. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how rich you think you are. You don't have enough money to change the fact that you are finite. We all have an expiration date, and we should remember that as we manage our money. We should have a plan, like the guy who said, my plan, my goal is for my cash and my life to run out at the same time. I thought about that this week, and I thought, you know what? Do the rent, carry the one. I need to die sometime after lunch on Tuesday. Let me ask, would your view of your wealth changed if you realized your death was imminent? If instead of expecting to live for years and decades more, you found out that you were only going to live for a couple of more months, would it change the way you thought about your wealth? You might remember back in January of 2018, there was a glitch in the system in Hawaii. The islands of Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, had a major malfunction in their emergency alert system. And on all of the channels and all the TVs and all the radios and all the things on the phones, all the communication platforms across the state, across the islands of Hawaii, the message went out, that we are under a ballistic missile attack. This is not a joke. We are under attack. And of course, panic and fear set in amongst the people. There was nothing they could do about it. It was too late. There were only minutes left in their existence before this missile attack would arrive at Hawaii. It was 38 minutes. 38 minutes before they realized the mistake and got it corrected. So for 38 minutes, the people of Hawaii had nothing to do but expect to die in just moments. They believed a deadly missile attack was coming. There was nothing anyone could do about it. One of the best responses that I read about to this event was a guy who was out playing golf. He knew where he was. He knew he could not get home in time to his family. So he just pulled out his phone and he recorded a video and sent it to them. And he said, "There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. So please know, I love you. I cherish you. And I'm just going to keep doing what I love." And he kept playing golf. Now, you might disagree with his choice, but there is something about his attitude that I really, really like. I would like to think that if I found out that my death was imminent, if I found out that instead of thinking that I've got decades more to live, I just had a month or so more to live, that I'd like to think there would be no huge changes that I would need to make in my life. Because I'm trying to live right now in light of then. And you should too. If you're going to be good at being rich in this present world, you must be good and aware of the coming age. That's an important phrase, coming age. We're going to read that in just a minute. And that's the big idea I want us to close with today. So we've been parked out in this series in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. We've read this together out loud. I'm going to ask you again, if you'll stand with me. Let's read this as we honor God's word and read this out loud this morning. Let these words sink into us. Let's read it together with great passion and great intention. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. These are Paul's words to his young protege in the faith, Timothy, and to us. Let's read them together. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want you to notice here in this verse that we've been camped out as we wrap this thing up today, I want you to notice there are two things that rich Christians should do with their wealth. And they're both good things. These are good things. The first one might even surprise you. The first thing that Paul says, if you have wealth, you should enjoy it in the present world, in the here and now. He says, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Every parent in the room understands this principle, because you've had Christmas morning at your house and you bought your kid a Christmas present and you enjoyed watching your kid enjoy what you gave them. Our Father in heaven is a good, good Father. And he gives us gifts for our enjoyment. So enjoy it. Enjoy your wealth. Do you live in a comfortable home? Do you drive at least a somewhat dependable car? Can you take someone you care deeply about out for a special meal? Can you take your family on vacation? Don't feel guilty about this. Be grateful for this and enjoy it in the present world. Enjoy it here and now, while you're here and now. Listen to the preacher. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Solomon writes, "It is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God." Now, I know we live in a culture that is intentionally designed to cause us to covet, to cause us to want what we don't have, to cause us desire. That's what the marketing industry is all about. Next Sunday night, we're going to all get really quiet during the football game to watch the commercials, right? We don't care about the game. We want to watch the commercials because that's what the marketing industry does. They've taught us. They've taught us to want, to desire. But when we can escape that prison, when we can leave that bondage of always thinking that we have to have more to be happy. I'd just be more happier if I could have more of that. Then we are fully set free to enjoy fully what we have. And this is what God wants. The Father wants his blessings to be enjoyed and appreciated. But they're also to be managed with the ever-present awareness that this world will not be ever-present. So in Scripture, you have this binary thing where it says enjoy, about when it comes to wealth, it says enjoy it. But then there's this major theme in Scripture regarding our wealth, and that is to employ it for the coming age. We enjoy it in the present world, but we also have to employ our wealth for the coming age. Let me say it again. I don't care how much money you have. We all have an expiration date. I heard about a man who found out he only had a few months left to live. And one day, just kind of through his processing through all this, one day he left the house, was gone for a few hours. When he came back, he was holding a bag. His wife said, what's in the bag? He said, well, I went to the bank, I got out all my money, and I turned it into gold coins, and they're all in this bag. And then he started walking up the steps. She goes, what are you doing with that bag of gold coins? Why do you have that? He goes, I'm going to put this bag of gold coins in the attic. And when I die and I'm on my way to heaven, I'm going to pick them up on my way and take them with me. Well, a few months later, he died. And after the funeral and the grieving process for a few weeks, the wife remembered this moment, and she was just kind of curious. But she crawled up the steps into the attic. And sure enough, right there, laying on the floor of the attic, was this bag of gold coins. She looked at it, kind of chuckled to herself, and says, I knew it. I knew he should have put these in the basement. Here's the truth. Rich Christians need to learn how to do financial planning for the next life. For the next life. Because here's the reality right here. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Same chapter of scripture you just read, just a couple verses earlier. Paul says, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. Do you get that, church? You are not taking it with you. It's not going with you. You know, occasionally someone of great wealth will pass away, and people wonder, I wonder how much he left. Oh, I wonder how much he left. I'll tell you. I know the answer. I know how much he left. All of it. He left all of it, and you will too. The Bible is clear. We cannot take our treasure with us. But the Bible is equally clear. We can send it on ahead. And our Rabbi Jesus was constantly advising his followers to do just that. So each week through this series, I've given you a principle from this text in 1 Timothy, a principle of how to be good at being rich. Let's just review real quick. The first week we said, we got to be humble about our wealth. 2 weeks ago I said, you got to trust God instead of your wealth. Last week, if you're here, we learned we have to bless others with our wealth. And here's the last principle about our wealth. We must learn to influence eternity with our wealth. Influence eternity. Influence forever with the resources that God's given us. I know that most of the people that I'm talking to in this room and on this broadcast right now, I know most of the people I'm talking to right now are people who already, you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian. So let me just speak to you for just a second. I just want to remind you, Christ follower, I just want to remind you that when you surrender your life to Christ, and that surrender was pictured and proclaimed publicly at your baptism, When you reenacted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, in that moment, let me be clear, you did not lose some of your wealth. You lost all of it. Because now King Jesus has a claim on everything that you have. And we believe that King Jesus is returning with his kingdom. And he's going to make it clear, and he's going to declare his claim on everything that is his. And if you're going to be good at being rich, you are living now in light of then. Let me remind you again, this series has never been about dollars. It's been about discipleship. As a pastor, I am not told by the scriptures to suggest. I'm not told to remind you about this. I'm not told to give a few thoughts. I'm not told to gently nudge you in this direction. The scripture that you just read out loud a minute ago tells me I am commanded by our God to tell you to be a good steward of your wealth. Because this present world is not the ever-present world. A coming age is on the way. Live now in light of then. Because we are all going to that age, the age that is coming. One of the most well-known theologians of the last century was this German guy by the name of Helmut Tillich, I think. I don't know. I don't speak German. You know, not every German was a Nazi. You know that, right? So Helmut, I'm just going to call him Helmut because I can't say his last name. Helmut was a pastor in the time of World War II in Germany. And towards the end of the war, at the fall of the Third Reich, Germany was under just relentless attack of bombs and Allied planes. His city, Stuttgart, where he lived, was being pummeled, just getting blown off the map. His church building had been destroyed. The houses of many of his church members were destroyed. And he heard about another bombing that had happened the night before in a neighborhood where many of his church members lived. So he walked down the sidewalk to visit this other neighborhood just to see what was going on, see if anyone from his church was there. And there he saw the home of a couple in his church that was just incinerated. There was nothing left but a hole in the ground. And there beside the explosion site where this home used to be stood this woman who lived in this home. She's standing by the hole. She's pointed down and said, My husband died there. They're not even going to be able to find his body. What do you say in a moment like that? Helmut expected her to be angry. At the very least, expected her to be confused. But instead, she turned to her pastor and she thanked him. She said, "Thank you for preparing my husband for eternity." I am constantly sobered with that thought. That I am commissioned by God to prepare you for eternity. And we prepare for eternity by surrendering to Jesus. Whether that's for the very first time. I said a moment ago that most of you in this room and watching this broadcast, most of you have publicly declared yourselves to be followers of Jesus. But I know some people listening to me today have not. And if that's you, it's time. It's time. It's time that you surrender your life to Jesus. That you trust him to be the leader and the forgiver of your life. That you are obedient to him by being lowered down into water in a public baptism, declaring the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as your own. It's time. You think, when can I do that? I'm going to tell you, today's good. This week, next week, let's get it done. Because it's time. Now, for the rest of you, the rest of us, those of us who have already said yes to following Jesus, surrendering to Jesus is not just a one-time thing that happens at the moment of our conversion or at the moment of our baptism. Surrendering to Jesus, becoming more like Jesus, is the daily goal of those who follow Jesus. It's something we do every day. We surrender to Jesus. But what does surrendering to Jesus look like? Well, how long you got? Because there are a lot of answers to that question, and they're all correct answers. But it's interesting to me that in the Gospels, in the biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our New Testaments, in the Gospels, the most consistent answer that Jesus gives to what does it look like to surrender to Jesus, the most consistent answer that Jesus gives is that when he, Jesus, has been enthroned, put on the throne of your life, and the money God has been dethroned in your life. That how one uses money in the present world is the clearest indicator for the next world. In other words, I'll say it like this. When your life is full of God, your use of your money, your wealth, is going to be full of purpose. And you're going to want what the Father wants. You're going to want heaven to be full of formerly lost children. I think that's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal them. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So here's the last thing I need to say to you about this topic of how to be rich and how to be good at being rich. Your use of your money can help people get to heaven. And I think the single best way to invest in heaven is to send your treasure ahead, to invest it in helping people find Jesus. Because our Father wants his lost children to be found. And we can influence eternity with our wealth, because more important than doing well in this present world is hearing the King say, "Well done," in the coming age. He is returning. He said, "I have entrusted to my servants kingdom assets. And when I come back, if they have invested those assets well, I will say, 'Well done.'" I was reminded of a story that I heard several years ago about a young man by the name of Joey Prusak. It's got a picture of him right there. It's Joey. Joey Prusak. He was a manager at a Dairy Queen. And he had worked at the Dairy Queen for several years. He was, through that process, he got to know some of the regular customers. And one of his regular customers was this gentleman, older gentleman, who was blind. And he got to kind of know this customer. And one day, this older blind gentleman was in line, and he dropped, as he was getting his money out, dropped a $20 bill from his pocket, laying it on the floor. Guy had no idea he had done it. And Joey Prusak, standing behind the counter, taking the guy's order, noticed that the woman behind the man in line picked up the $20 and put it in her pocket. So when it was her turn to come to the counter, Joey just politely asked the lady, "Would you please take that $20 bill that you picked up off the floor and give it back to that man who dropped it?" "No," she said. "That was my $20. I dropped that $20 bill." No, it wasn't. I watched it happen, lady. It was his. He dropped that." And she just kind of started yelling and screaming. And he said, he just refused to serve her. He goes, "I'm not going to serve you until you give him that money back." Well, then she gets really angry, goes full Karen on the guy, and starts yelling and cussing and screaming, just making the biggest scene in the world. Finally, Joey said, "Ma'am, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave. I'm not going to serve you. You cannot be in the store. If you're going to steal, you're not welcome here. You're going to have to leave." Well, she's screaming and cussing, but she left in a huff. But what Joey did next was amazing. He went over to the gentleman, the blind man, pulled out his own wallet, pulled out a $20 bill, gave it to him and said, "Hey, on behalf of Dairy Queen, I want to just give you this $20 bill that you dropped." Well, he didn't think anything else about it. But there were other customers in the store. And they saw what happened, and they put it on social media. This thing kind of went viral, kind of blew up a little bit. Joey didn't think anything else about it. He was just being who he was raised to be. A couple days later, he gets a phone call from this guy. You know this guy? It's Warren Buffett. One of the wealthiest men on the planet. Warren Buffett is the chair of Berkshire Hathaway, who happens to own Dairy Queen. Warren Buffett invited Joey Prusak to the shareholders meeting that spring to hold him up in front of the entire organization as if to say, this represents who we want to be. Well done. Well done. We live to hear that from our master. Those of us who are good at being rich in this present world, we live for the coming age. Because we know that heaven is on the way. And there is no better investment strategy than to help people meet the coming King. Let me pray for you. If our community team will take their places, please get ready to serve us. Father, thank you for being so, so good to us. Thank you for giving us so much. Help us to enjoy it and give us the wisdom and the desire to employ it to make an eternal difference. God, continue to give this church awesome opportunities, just like we have this afternoon, to make Jesus known in our neighborhoods, across our country, and around this world. And help us, God. Help us to find our deepest sense of satisfaction, well-being, and wealth in the riches of the gospel and in the goodness of our Savior Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.